Soft House Productions.
Hello, guys. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. It's your brother, your friend, your boy, your guy, Omo Kings. And welcome to today's edition of the Struggling Young Christian Podcast. As we all know, this is a podcast that delves into the real life struggles of young Christians. We talk about the things we deal with on our everyday lives. We talk about our triumphs as well, too, the things we're getting right. And we just talk about things that would help us on our faith journey to becoming the perfect image of Christ. And I want to say a very big thank you to everyone who has supported this podcast so far. Those of you who watched the last edition, thank you for your comments. Thank you for your feedback. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for referring a friend. Thank you for subscribing to our YouTube channel. Thank you for following us on TikTok, on Instagram. We are grateful. It means the whole world to me to have you on board this journey. Thank you so much. And I say, God bless you. Today, we are going to be talking about an interesting topic that the Holy Spirit has been pressing my neck about, so to speak. And today, we'll be talking about identity intersection, faith and self-discovery. Today, God has prepared a vessel, an amazing young sister, a Christian, a worshiper, a policy advisor. She got levels like that. Yeah, she's a writer, a lawyer by training. She's gifted, and most of all, like I would always say, she loves the Lord. And I want to welcome to the Struggling Young Christian Podcast, Sister Uche Joanne.
Oh, took the full name.
Hi, Uche. Welcome to the podcast.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming. Thank you so much for coming. I mean, it's been a long time coming, but to be finally here today is such a blessing to have you grace the podcast. I want to say a very big thank you.
It means
a lot to me. It means a lot to all of us. And by God's grace, I hope we are able to chop up this conversation and get people to benefit from what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah.
So how are you, by the way? Let's start from that.
I am great. Thank you very much.
I can imagine.
How are you?
I'm fabulous. Fabulous.
She would just use words that go over, that are more higher than, so I said great, you say fabulous. I am fantabulous.
Nasu.
Think of something
I'm
else.
Over the moon.
Over the moon.
I'm seated in heavenly places.
With the Most High God.
Definitely, definitely. So today's conversation, identity intersection, faith and self-discovery. Let's get into it. Where do we start from? We'll start from defining what identity is really. And I really want you to talk about the various components of identity, including personal beliefs, values, cultural background, experience generally. What forms identity?
Oh, I mean, I think it's all-encompassing. It's what makes the person's characteristic. So that's your belief, that's your faith, that's your culture.
Facts.
All of those things make who you think you are.
Definitely.
And then it's constantly evolving.
Absolutely.
As well. So you might think I'm this person, then a situation pushes you in a different direction. You're like,
ooh.
I thought I was.
Dismissive.
What? So it's all encompassing. There's different attributes that create identity, but it's usually like your faith, your values, culture, just environment and just life.
Experience, generally.
And life,
true.
Yeah.
So I kind of want us to delve a bit deeper in the formation of identity and the complexity of identity formation. Like you mentioned, it's a combination of how the person has grown up, the environment, the society, the belief system, religion, and all that. Like, how does it really evolve? How does your identity evolve? Can you delve a bit more on that, please?
Like, I have the answers to everything.
I mean, you experience, and God prepared you for this session.
I think there's the part of where you think there's a part of like maybe when you're young.
Yeah.
Me personally, I thought I was a certain person. And when it came, but I realized I was like asking myself, is this who you are, or is this because you're at home? This is the life that your parents have created. And so you follow this route.
Yeah.
And this is how you act because they act this way. And so I was really looking forward to going to university to figure out who is Uche outside of home. It was yeah. Uche. What does she like?
Yeah.
How does she behave without her parents there?
Facts.
Because when you're around, grow up in church, you feel like you need to act a certain way. There's people looking at you.
True.
And that develops and you realize that, okay, I think I'm part of this from my parents, but I'm actually also this. So I feel like the environment plays a big part with identity. But I feel like as you grow and you're dealing with different things, you pick out. And I think also it's innate. It's within you already.
True.
There's characteristics within you that adjust you. And it just takes a certain situation for that to
manifest.
You know, manifest.
Yeah.
And but I think a lot of us are still learning, you know.
It's a constant evolution.
Is.
Yeah.
We're still learning. And I think many people still don't know who they are.
True.
Yeah.
I agree with you. I really do. And you mentioned something about us being a certain type of person, especially for those of us who come from a Christian background, like we try to fit the mold that's been set. And uni is actually the true test of your character and your identity.
100%.
Like uni reveals who you really are.
100%.
Who you really are without the prying eyes of your parents and with the freedom of just being your own person.
Yeah.
And that's so true because it's pretty much my experience as well to being in uni. I mean, my experience in uni, especially when I did my first degree, was a bit because I went to uni in a house that my uncle lived in as well too. So I lived in a house that my uncle was. So I was still pretty much under parental guidance in uni. But I understand where you mean.
Schooling from home?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, that must have changed the entire experience.
Narrative. But it really didn't because I had freedom as well to do whatever I really wanted to do.
In an African home?
Yes. My uncle was quite chilled.
Oh,
his wife was the disciplinarian.
Okay.
But I mean, but with him, like I could get away with anything I really wanted to do.
Oh,
and
okay.
But funny enough, like in uni, I was quite chill. I would say that, like, I didn't lose my head in uni. Okay, let's reel it back into the conversation. Exploring faith as a component of our identity. Like we said, our religion or our faith really defines, contributes to the things that define our identity. I want us to discuss how faith influences our perspective or our perception of self, our relationships with people and the world around us generally.
Mm. I think maybe I would link faith more to character. I think you develop your character through, you know, whatever you believe in.
Facts.
For instance, the Bible verse that talks about being slow to listen.
Mm-hmm.
Slow to listen.
No,
fast to listen.
Fast to listen and slow
and
to
slow
speak.
Slow to speak.
Yes.
So when you see that, the book of Proverbs has so much wisdom.
True.
But when you see that, you're like, okay, I need to work on this side of it, depending on how convicted you are when you read that verse.
Yeah.
But those Bible verses like that are what builds who you are as a person. I mean, for me personally. So, and it really depends on, I guess, your relationship with God and how far you want this relationship to go to that allows you to dive deeper into how much influence the Bible has.
Okay. One question quickly before we move to the next. Would you say there's something called a Christian identity?
I think I would call that religion.
Okay.
Because what do people call Christian identity? Is that not what people think Christians are supposed to be?
Because some people have their church self, like the version of themselves they present in church. Some people have the version of themselves they present at uni or at workplace.
Yeah.
And so is there a thing like my Christian identity, because I feel like identity, people identify themselves for various reasons and for various occasions,
mm-hmm.
or various audiences.
True.
And I'm trying to see how we can explore how our Christian beliefs and values and practices shape one sense of self.
Yeah, I mean, because even when you talk about how you behave in church, when you're in a working environment, you present a different side of you.
Yeah.
When you go to a social gathering, you present a different side of you. But everything should still be you. But I think there's an issue with people feeling like this is how they need to be in church.
Yeah.
And it's not really the true person. You go home and you're a completely different person. Or maybe you act like, I'm really soft-spoken. I'm very this, what the Bible says. And you go home before somebody says, you're like, if I... quickly. You know, you switch up really quickly. So yeah. I think it's more about... Maybe I'm talking from my own perspective. I think I'm very conscious about not being a different person.
In different church. Situations, or both in church and outside
both
church.
In church. I want you to meet me anywhere and be
and
like,
still have the same person.
I'm still the same person.
Exactly. Because that's something I've observed in Christendom a lot, like over the years being a Christian. Like, a lot of people in church show you a version of themselves.
Yeah.
And then you go outside of them and they are a completely different person, and you try to justify the two characters you've just seen in your head and try mm-hmm. to make sense of it. And I feel like this is one thing that also causes a bit of confusion for people who are not in the faith,
mm-hmm.
and sort of like scares them away from coming into the faith, because
they know
you to be the outgoing guy,
yeah.
but in church you're all pious, all reserved, put together, and mm-hmm. maybe like put in a front for
yeah.
the church audience.
Yeah.
But outside you're a different person. Like, I'm finding it hard to make it make sense why people do that.
I think it's also linked to us caring. Do we care about who we present, our presentation to God, or do we care more about our presentation to other people? Because then if it's your presentation to God, there's more consistency wherever you go, wherever yeah. you are. But if it's for people, that will switch up. Church, party, whatever
situation you find yourself in.
It will switch up. You're a different person.
Exactly. And now, putting God now at the center of this conversation, especially as Christians, we are children of God. That's mm-hmm. that should be like our de facto identity. That's what I feel like we should always identify as, children of God. And that pretty much should help us put everything into perspective and present that consistent character everywhere we go. We should be children of God. We should represent Christ everywhere we go.
Well, I mean, I think maybe we should even talk about why it's so difficult for people to be that person. Because I know the Bible says the ways of man is wicked.
True.
But I genuinely think people want that freedom. People want that liberation. But why is it that people act a certain way? Is it because the church hasn't created the environment to realize that God created people differently? There's going to be different personalities. For instance, Paul in the Bible was quite aggressive as a person, very extreme. He wasn't, before he encountered God, he was extreme.
Definitely.
When he encountered God, he was extreme. That's who he is.
That's his character.
So when somebody comes into church, like that type of personality, you'd be like, oh God, you know?
Yeah.
But he was doing God's work. Do we create room for different...
For the expression of different types of identity.
Yes.
This is a very important message for Christians. And this is not even just for just young Christians as well. This also would relate to older Christians and Christian leadership to
yeah.
factor all of this into how we approach people, especially considering the fact that we live in a world today where identity is such a huge issue. Identity is such a huge issue. Yeah, this is one to take a sip about. How people choose to identify themselves and how we identify those people as well too is such a huge conversation in workplaces, in the social strata of this nation right now as we speak. Mm-hmm. So this is something we all need to pay attention to. Quick one before we go to the next one. I also want us to talk about biblical identity because, I mean, you just mentioned a very big character in the Bible, Paul. And I want us to talk about what the Bible has to say about identity. I know one of the popular scriptures is us being created in the image and likeness of God, and we are adopted children of God, mm-hmm. that we can always call to him Abba, mm-hmm. Father, mm-hmm. and also we have been called out of darkness into light, for his own purpose. I want us to discuss how these biblical truths inform how we identify ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think, you know what? I can only speak for myself, and I feel situations are what pushed me to search for who I was in God.
Mm.
Because left to, you know, society, you are left lost. You are left
at the mercy of their definition of you.
Yes, and that comes with so many insecurities, comes with doubt, self-worth, all of those things.
Yeah.
And I had to practice the act of going into the Bible when I'm facing a situation to be like, okay, what does the Bible say about this? And you know, when we talk about God creating us in his image, and he's basically saying that we are gods.
That's
as well.
What we are.
So do we even understand when we talk about the authority that he's given us? I don't think even us speaking know how far deep that is.
True.
Until a situation presents itself.
And
you're reminded of the word of God. If it's not in your mind, then you're stuck. You're reminded of the word of God, and that's what comes out. But I think it's situations that push you to that point to
absolutely
really search.
To really search and
like, God,
find yourself
in him. What do you think about me?
Yeah.
And I had to start praying as well. And I was like, God, please help me to see myself through your eyes. And I had to write a song because I was going through a rough time. And I was like, I wrote the song out and I was like, God, I need you to help me to see myself. And not just only the positive things, the things that I need
search
to work
me.
On.
As Show me well. My innermost path.
Yes. But I need to see myself through the creator's eyes because that's the true person I am, not what the society says,
who even you say you are.
Exactly. But it's a deep emotional
journey.
Yeah, and there's a lot. There's a lot to dissect.
Definitely.
In that.
We will get there at some point in this conversation. Before we go next, who's your Bible character?
Oh God, I don't think I actually I don't think I have a particular person.
Yeah,
I know that. I don't mean to pick on Paul, but I don't think we would have gotten along.
It was just too.
It was a lot.
It was just too much for you.
I'd be like, "Hey, brother Paul, how are you? It's lovely to see you." Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, take care. Have a lovely week.
Stay here late, brother Paul.
You know, but I admire him, but from afar because I feel like Paul will hurt my feelings.
But there's so many female characters in the Bible, though.
I mean, it's easy to pick the ones because you think you. The first one that people will always think about is like Esther. I don't know if I have the personality of
Esther,
the confidence that she had to go in, you know,
in such a treacherous situation and
that could be it for you. I feel like I'll be going back and forth. Maybe she did actually. Maybe she did. She was walking back and forth from that door. I can see myself in different people. I can see myself in Joseph. I can see myself in Jonah. I can see myself in David.
Definitely.
Jonah is crazy. He makes me laugh every time I read that book.
Jonah is one guy.
It reminds me of me.
Stubborn me. Exactly. Jonah, I think I mentioned it in the last episode. Yeah. So my Bible characters, first David, definitely. David. Mm-hmm. Like, I see David.
Is it because of the worship aspect? Or
So with David, it was... So there's three major parts of David that I see in me. His worship, his music, his creativity, and
his creativity in terms of music.
In terms of music. and how he used creativity to maneuver situations he was in. There's a time in the scriptures where he had to act like a madman to escape the Philistines. That was creativity. That's genius.
Very witty.
That's genius. Like, and I see, I'm that guy that can morph through any situation and just find my way out of any situation. Yeah, like, I get that witness. I see that sort side of witness in David. And then the royal priesthood of David as well, too. I see that as well, too. Because the Bible says we are what? We're a royal priesthood. We're kings and queens. Like, that's what we are.
Yeah.
And I own it with my full chest, like, in the order of David.
Yeah.
Definitely. And that's why I named my first son David, actually.
Oh.
Because of my affinity for David as a person. So I see David, and even with his flaws as well, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, hands up. This is the Struggling Young Christian podcast. We raise our hand to say our flaws. And I mean, I've done things like David did as well, too. Yeah. And I can relate to him on that level.
I would like to dissect David when we get to heaven. I'm like, God, let's sit down, you know?
David, let's talk. Let's actually sit with David and talk.
Let's sit down. God, please explain.
How did you like this guy?
Explain to me.
How did you manage to love him?
He did this, and then this one, and that one, and you said he's a man after your heart.
But the trick, though, is David had a contrite heart.
He did.
Like, regardless of what David did, like, and that's what I said, a contrite heart, he will never despair. Like, God just has a source for someone who can just own up and say, Lord, I messed up.
Yeah.
Own up to it, first of all, with your hands, and then repent. That's all good. I think
from a Christian perspective, is more of like, how many times do you do wrong? Something that's wrong, and like, God, you know, and that's why God is an all merciful God.
Exactly.
You know, and left to humans,
we can't handle that much mess ups.
That much.
We can't handle that much mess up. We don't have that much enough.
We're like, you're a bad person.
That's why Jesus had to tell us we have to forgive 70 times. What? Seven times. That's the godly nature. So let's
70 times 7 or 7 times 70.
70 times 7, 7 times 70, they mean the same thing. Okay, now we've really opened it up a bit. Now, let's talk about the challenges in our faith identity and our Christian identity. Like, what common challenges do young Christians face in embracing their faith identity? I know we touched about it earlier on, but I want us to delve a bit deeper into that.
What challenges?
Yes.
Challenges... Maybe we could even start from culture.
Definitely, 100%.
I feel like
that's the foundation, really.
And many times culture and the Bible can clash.
They always do.
And you still find it in church, people still bring in the culture. This is not how we do it in my place.
Mm-hmm. This is how we used to
regardless
do it
of what the Bible says.
In our church in the village. This is how we have always done it. But people forget that the world evolves.
Yeah.
And even God, I mean, God's standards are still the same.
It's still the same.
But his approach sometimes has evolved. If you look through the Bible, like, I mean, that's why there's the Old Testament. Like, we're under the new covenant now. I've been reading the book of Leviticus and Numbers, and while reading that, I was asking, Father, would I really have been having to kill a goat every day? I thought about something that shouldn't have forever. Like, and people don't really evolve with this thing. And this thing actually affects how young Christians see themselves in the grand scheme of this whole Christianity conversation we're trying to have.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of young people are dealing with this, and this is a struggle for a lot of young people, like trying to find where they fit in this whole Christian race. Like, how do I position myself in this, especially in a situation like most young people now would have parents who would have to either force them to church or make them do things that they really do not want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite a struggle.
And if you are like myself, a black person who migrated to the country, you are dealing with a bit of identity crisis because you're dealing with faith, you're dealing with the African culture, you're dealing with the British culture.
Mm-hmm.
Everything.
It's a mix of everything.
It's a mix of everything. And you're like, I'm not quite that, and I'm not quite that, and I'm not quite, what am I? And it's an issue that I think a lot of, whether first generation migrants or whatever, they still deal with that in a different way that people don't really even deal with in church. That's another thing.
And these pressures and challenges you've talked about now are even external.
Mm.
How about the internal struggles? Struggles like things like gender, sexuality.
Which is
prevalent in the world we live right now. Like, I want us to let that marinate for a bit, because how do we deal with this identity struggles? How do we deal with them?
It's so complicated, this topic, and it's because you use the Bible to support something and somebody else will bring Bible verse and say...
And counter
that. But that's a lot of times because we're taking the Bible out of context as well. I feel like, let's read the full chapter. Let's
see.
And then link this chapter with that one and that one. And let's now make an all-round informed opinion on what this means. And I think that this issue is because it's also linked to the fact that a lot of us are very far apart from God. And I think the more this happens, the more issues like this continue to be created. And we're trying to find who we are without, away from the person who created us.
The manual.
And we will keep searching because we're not going to find it because we're not connected to
the source.
So when at some point this will leave and another one will come up, then another one will come up and it will continue that way. But I think it's an issue of the relationship that we have with God. But I think that we're facing a lot of distraction right now that affects that and is creating this
confusion. Exactly. I want us to talk about self-discovery through faith, like how we discovered our faith, how we discovered ourselves and our faith in God that defined who you are today. I want you to tell me a story about how you really found yourself in Christ and understood who you were.
I can't pinpoint it to one situation.
Yeah.
And I think maybe that's for everybody. But I think we talked about this already before.
Yeah.
And for me, it's a different journey because being brought up in a Christian home. And I mean, a home where it's not the ones where like your parents are different outside and different inside. They're the same people.
Consistently.
Inside and outside. You know, so... That was, so I guess that also didn't, because that can have an effect on somebody's relationship with God when you're seeing two different versions of your parents. So I didn't see that. So I didn't really have doubt in that sense. But I had somewhat of a relationship with God, but it was up and down. But there wasn't any depth or real understanding or real knowing. And this is long. It's complicated.
Break it down.
But I feel like for me, my journey of knowing God, that's been a very long time. But you know what, actually, circle back. Growing up at home, we'll pray together all the time.
Yeah.
That was mostly the prayer that we did.
That was it
for me. The family prayer in the morning, 6 a.m. Done. That was it. I'm done for the day. I could do little prayers.
On your food.
On food, little, or maybe when I'm traveling. Yeah. God, safe journey. Mm-hmm. You know, that type of stuff. Or you see an African, you see a cat. So.
I bind you.
And it's a black cat.
Oh, my God.
You know, those type of things. But I feel like that's kind of like where it stopped growing up. I don't, or maybe I'm wrong. I just can't remember me having anything more than that. And, but that helped.
Definitely.
Then when I got to uni, there wasn't anybody saying, Uche, let's pray.
Mm.
There wasn't anything like that.
The true test of character.
And I prayed some days and some days I didn't. And let me tell you, the most darkest time of my life, those first couple of months at uni, internally, people outside didn't know, but internally, like, I wouldn't even go to class. I'd be in my room. Somebody may even call that depression.
Yeah.
But I wasn't clinically diagnosed. But there was no will to do anything. There was just so much confusion, so much self-doubt. From where, I don't know. But there was no connection with God. And so there was just disconnect. There was a disconnect. There was... nothing was making sense, and I couldn't get myself to do anything at all. And I knew that, I was like, I need to find God. Yeah, like, that's my safe space, because I don't know what this is, mm-hmm. and I don't want to know what this is anymore. And I think maybe that was when I understood what it felt like having a relationship with God, having that connection, and what it felt like not having it. That. Maybe that was maybe my first realization.
Yeah.
And from there, it's developed different stages, gone through the point of I don't know if God, if I'm significant enough for God to care about me.
Mm.
Those type of things, because you just feel like, oh, I'm just... it's nothing quite special, you know. That person, that's special. That one is special. That, yeah, I can see God will pay attention to them, but I don't think God really is looking at me at all. And I think I told you about the situation when I had a fight with my friend.
Yeah.
And argue. It wasn't a fight. It was an argument. And we'd never argued before. There's just so much bad energy, anger. Same day I had that and I felt that dark cloud over me, and I knew that I was like, this is the end. This is it for me.
Yeah.
I knew that if I didn't pray, but I didn't also know what to pray.
Mm.
And I was like, you know, I started speaking in tongues because I remember the teachings of when I was younger, when you don't know what to pray, let the Holy Spirit
pray for you.
Pray. Yeah. And so I started praying, but even being freed from that situation, but I think that was also one of the moments that I was like, wow, he does really care. He does really, like, you care. So you, like, I didn't even know what to pray and you came to my rescue.
Mm.
Like, and I was like, wow. You know, that's when you start feeling like, oh, God is my friend.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this is a legit relationship, connection, riding. You know, and that's, I think, it's just little experiences like that that started to build up. So that built up, and then this other situation, that situation. And I think me and God have been going through our self-discovery, and the intimacy has been building. It's just like any relationship with anybody.
True. Facts.
Time.
It takes time to build.
It takes time to build. And God has just been, I've been here.
Waiting for you.
I've been here, but you know, you can take the time to get to know me and I'll show you who I am.
Mm.
And each time he's been showing me who he is, and that the more reassurance I have. But at the same time, I go through the situation like the Israelites.
Yeah.
God shows them
how different side of
ultimate
him.
Mm-hmm. How almighty he is, but then they forget about that and they're like, oh God, why did you bring us in this situation? Da, da, da. He does something again, then they're like, this God, I will we'll go and make gold with our mm-hmm. with our gold mm-hmm. and we go through those doubts. And I was like, God, I feel so stupid. I'm so sorry.
Absolutely.
You know,
I think every Christian that has a solid relationship with God goes through those moments too, because it's human nature to err. Like, I even in the Bible, like, check every body that God has had a major relationship with, from Abraham, Noah, David, Solomon. I think when we get to a position of rest, we all get complacent in our relationship and mm-hmm. just tend to ignore God. But yeah, your story is amazing, and it's pretty much quite similar to what I went through as well to discover myself. I mean, just like you, I was born in a Christian home. The whole Christian prayer life, morning devotion at home. Well, my mom was hot on that. My parents used to be very hot on that. And I mean, I was always in church, playing keys. I started playing instruments at church. I was in children's choir. Even before that, that's children's choir, youth choir, went through the ranks. Even in my church that time, we had this this organization for boys. It was called the Royal Rangers. I was in that in my church, and that actually helped mold me in my faith a bit. But as you grow older, like getting to uni, freedom comes in, and then you start seeing what your friends are doing. The peer pressure came in and I fell for it, hands down, and started doing things I was not supposed to do. And I think my spiritual life was just in and out, really.
Okay.
Like, so I was always in church, always playing keys in church. And that's one thing I want to speak to young Christians about. You can actually be in church. You can be very active in church. You can be the guy in church, but not in God.
Yeah. And we make that mistake so
and
much.
And I was that guy. Yeah. I was in church. Oh, yes. Like, I'm a church boy, like, hands down.
True and true.
Like, I've been there. The only department I've not really joined in church will probably be two departments, women's department and usher's department. But I feel like I've been in prayer team sometimes. I've been in pastoral team. I've been in the youth team. Choir, definitely. The only team I've not really been into is the women's team and maybe ushers. I've never really done ushering because I'm always in front playing keys.
I was going to say children class, but I was like, no, you were a child. I've
done a bit of children class as well too. Like, I've done youth. I've been a youth pastor. I've been a youth leader. Yeah. So I've gone through every part of church.
Yeah,
But my relationship with God was off and on. And the truth was, God actually even always used to find a way to communicate to me, like get people to talk to me. I told you something, like, I remember one day one of my boys saw me and like said, the father said, I should tell you, you're neither hot nor cold. That hit me for a while, but I mean, I still fell back and went through so many trials that's too many to mention here for the sake of time. But eventually, I got to a point where I knew I needed God more than he needed me.
Yeah.
And like I said in the previous episode, God used those pain to draw me close to him. He used pain to humble me, to get me off my high horse and bring me to ground zero, where I can realize that, okay, you need me to get you out of this. And the day I surrendered and said, Father, okay, it's your way, not mine anymore.
Your way or no way.
Definitely. That's the day my life changed. And like, it was a long process of discovery, like you said. Like, it was, God had to unpack so many things out of me. Like, I had to, first of all, the first process, I had to first take everything out, blow everything out and just separate myself, just me and God first. Ask for his mercy, and then forgive myself as well too for allowing myself to let myself go from the original plan and then sought God for, okay, Father, what's the deal? What's the plan for me? Like, who am I? And he began to show me who I was. First of all, he reminded me that you are my son, you're my child. And that's why I boldly declare everywhere I go. If you check on all my socials, it's there. Son of the King of Kings. Like, I wear it with my full chest. Yeah. This, because that's who I am. Like, and that's my identity. That's what I identify as.
And there's a knowing.
Yeah. When you're the son of a king, one of the things that even made it, because all of this self-discovery or my discovery in faith happened not long ago, you know.
Yeah.
It happened
yeah.
in 2021. Shockingly, for many people that have known me to be in church for so long,
all this time,
yeah. like my true discovery of my purpose and my identity in God
yeah.
was just in 2021 here, not too far away that I can tell you, okay, from this point, I know I'll say yes. I count this part to the part where, okay, I know me and God, we became serious.
Yes.
God became my real guy from that point.
I think it's important for people to know that as
where
well.
You start with yeah. him, because all the while it was just a joke thing for me, because I didn't really take God that serious. Mm-hmm. Because how can you take God serious and you're still doing things that he doesn't like?
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense. Like, I wasn't committed to him, and
yeah.
I didn't know how much that broke God's heart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he just turned his back away and let the devil toss me around, use me to play ping pong for a bit. And until I got to my senses.
Yeah.
And from that point, like, one of the things that even helps me understand it was when the husband of the queen died.
Okay.
And there was so much animosity against Harry at that time.
Okay.
About yeah. the whole Meghan situation. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of everything that happened, even him denouncing his family and going to America, when his grandfather died, he came back. They held him back like the prodigal son. He mm-hmm. matched with them, and I'm like, yay, this is the son of a king.
Yeah.
And this is me. And from that point on, like, a light bulb switched on in my head, and I just began to carry myself like who I really was. And the confidence, the understanding that I have everything I need.
And letting go of
what I don't need.
Yeah.
And focusing on my relationship with God.
Letting go of the past.
Oh, definitely.
That was holding you back.
Definitely the past, the fears.
God cannot, you know.
Exactly. All of it.
Yeah.
Letting all that go and embracing my identity in Christ.
Yeah.
My life changed.
Add into that, because when you're talking about, like, forgiving yourself.
Yes.
It just reminded me of a situation at uni when I was just like, I without saying what, but like, I did something out of character that I wouldn't have done, like my usual self wouldn't yeah. have done. And I was beating myself up. Like, I was so upset. I was beating myself up. There was so much going on. And I, maybe hatred.
Mm.
And it was interesting, that situation, because nobody really knew what was going on, like, within.
Within you, yeah.
And somebody from college who I wasn't particularly friends with, we weren't close like that. We've met in college in passing, you know, few conversations, but we weren't close like that. We weren't friends. And, the person sent me a message on Facebook. I said, God told me to tell you to forgive yourself.
Mm.
Oh my God, I could cry. I was like a stranger. I didn't even know that person was a Christian.
God can use anybody to communicate with
you. I didn't even know, you know, I knew the person that was like, but I didn't know the person had a relationship. I didn't know and use that person. It's one of those situations that makes you realize that God is like, it's just
that's why it's good. Like, it's just waiting for you.
Like, let go.
Mm-hmm.
Let go. I'm here.
Mm-hmm.
Forgive yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I've forgiven you.
Mm-hmm. 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 Oh my God. It's when you think about how much God loves us and understand the value of our identity in Him.
Mm-hmm.
It's such a refreshing experience, like knowing who I am in God, knowing that I am loved, knowing that I'm a royal priesthood, a chosen generation, set apart.
Yes.
I carry myself differently, like understanding who you are, first of all, in God. And just like you said, there's no way you can understand yourself outside of the context of the person that made you. It's like, if I gave you this iPhone now and you're someone who's used to Androids, there's no way you would be able to operate an iPhone without seeing a manual from the manufacturers of this iPhone. Same way it is, how would you want to understand yourself outside of the person who created you?
You just can't, because like the world tells you, if you aren't this specific person, you don't look like this, you don't fit into this
category.
If you don't talk like this, you don't fit into that category. If this, you don't. It boxes people. But then there's Gideon.
Yeah. In the Bible.
And he was like, God, me? I can't. Mm-hmm. I can't do this. No. Somebody else, not me.
God told him no.
And God is like, no, it's you. And so if we continuously just stay away from God's view, we will constantly limit ourselves.
Definitely.
Based on what people are like, oh no, that one is not for you.
Yeah.
No, that one is not for you. But then God is like, no, actually, that's for you.
Yeah. This is who I made you to be.
Many people doing things they're not even supposed to be doing because the people that God sent, we're not really
listening to, or we're not paying attention to.
We're just letting the world dictate.
Define us.
Yeah. And I'm a victim too.
Oh, come on, like I was a victim for so many years until I understood that there was a higher calling, and I mean, that's what's led us here right now. We're having this conversation, this whole podcast. There's so many things I'm doing in my life right now, in business, in ministry. It's all tied to the fact that I understand my calling, I understand my purpose, I understand who I am in God. And it just, every other thing just naturally finds expression from there. There's no way you would fulfill your purpose. There's no way you fulfill your call, your calling in life, if you do not understand who you are, who you were made to be from the source, God. God, and this goes to everyone listening right now. I don't know who may be struggling with understanding their identity, who may be struggling to understand their purpose. The only thing you can do is go back to the Father, go back to the drawing board, go back to the source, realign yourself with His will for your life. And that's the only place you can find fulfillment. You can find your calling.
I've got a question though.
Shoot.
I don't know if we have the answer to it, but
we'll try.
It's more to do with, why do we always have to get to that place of like complete loss, complete, just you are the bottom of the bottom before we go looking? And then, because you mentioned something previously that, you know, we get complacent, we get relaxed, and then we lose that
touch, connection
with God. Why can't it be consistent throughout? Like, why do we always have this with God? Why can't we just,
I understand what you're trying to say. We're always off and on. I think it comes from Adam.
Okay.
From the point where Adam fell, that disconnect started from there.
Mm-hmm.
That's constant access. The way God originally designed us was for us to always be like Him.
Yeah.
And from when Adam disobeyed God and did the wrong thing, Adam fell, and obviously he broke the code.
Mm-hmm.
That broke the relationship we have with God. So that's affinity we have for God declined from that point on. So from that point on, you have to always struggle to build that relationship with God. Check people. Let's look at Bible experiences, like of people who works with God. Enoch walked with God till he became not. God had to take him away because how much he devoted himself to God.
Yes.
Elijah, same thing.
Yes.
There's no one who works with God that does not, your future is secure if you walk with God. But the moment you let your flesh take over, the pleasures of this world, let me chill for a bit. When you're supposed to pray, you're on TikTok scrolling. When you're supposed to find time for God, you are busy doing other things. the cares of this world will choke the desire for God in you. It's just how this world is designed right now. The devil is the king of this domain.
Yes.
Right now.
Yeah.
And what's his task every day? To steal, to kill, to destroy. To steal your attention from God. He will use anything possible. Social media, films, music, your friends, whoever.
And even if you're like this, he's waiting for you to come.
He's just waiting for you to give him just a small room.
But we know these things, and yet...
But we still forget these things.
You know?
That's the dilemma, and that's the struggle which we're here to talk about. Like, it's a struggle. That's why the Bible profess the solution said, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but renew your mind every day. It's a daily dying to your flesh. This flesh has to be killed daily.
On a daily basis.
It's a walk. Like, you have to be committed to it. Wake up in the morning, kill it again. You have to, because it's warfare. It's a war with the flesh. It's two kingdoms at war here. The kingdom of life versus the kingdom of darkness. The flesh is susceptible to the kingdom of darkness. Mm-hmm. Your spirit is susceptible to the kingdom of light. Mm-hmm. It's a constant battle. If you starve your flesh, your spirit will become active. If you starve your spirit, your flesh becomes active and your spirit dies. And the moment your spirit dies, your connection with God dies. Mm-hmm. God is a spirit.
Yeah.
To connect with God, you have to feed your spirit more. How do you feed your spirit? Faith cometh by what? Hearing by the word of God.
But I think people feel like maybe it's just too hard to connect with God. Like, it's hard.
It's not. It's all about perspective, really. How you choose to see it. Mm-hmm. And there's something I watch. Also, reward, the concept of reward. Like, most people, human nature, we always chase a reward.
Yes.
Some people are always on TikTok for that dopamine. The laughter, we were talking about memes earlier on just now. Yeah. That for them, that's the reward for being on TikTok. For me, my reward is a glorious future that God has for me, fulfilling purpose, bringing people into the kingdom of God. That's the reward I'm after.
Deferred gratification.
I prefer because that's, at the end of the day, that's, and apart from that, even the joy of being connected to God is already gratification enough for me. He meets my needs, he provides for me. Having that constant access to him is enough gratification for me. And I know there's even more to come because eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it come into the hearts of men what God has in store for those who love him and accord according to what? His purpose. So as long as I align myself with his purposes, I'm good. Literally, like my American to say, literally, I'm good. So you just have to understand what your purpose is and understand how you identify with God, and trust me, the more you do it, it becomes muscle memory.
Yeah.
Because the more you do it, the better you become at it. Like, it's just going to be higher and higher and higher like that. But the problem is, you do it one day, you chill the next day, chill the next day after, and you lose your momentum. Daily.
You know what? I'll say something to that, because for anybody who is like me, that feels like everything needs to be done properly. Like, if I want to pray, there must be time to... You know, you want to do... I'm like, I must enter into the Holy of Holies, you know? That kind of... And that really stops you from... Because you're like, you've put so much expectation, so much weight to do that. And maybe you only have a few minutes and you know that this is going to take some time.
Do you know what it is? That's culture.
Yeah.
The culture.
And now we're back to that.
Culture. God is with you at all times. It's Emmanuel. It's God in us. It's in you. Wherever you are, you can just, yo, big G, Alpha. Like, I talk to God like that sometimes. Like, Baba Alpha. Like, I speak pidgin with him sometimes. Like, Baba,
how I be?
Like, he come on, he's God. He understands everything. He knows my heart. Yeah. Even before I think things, he knows where my thoughts are going. So I speak to him in a language that I'm comfortable with. And that's, we all have this misconception of God, who God is. Like, God is this. God is just there with you, just waiting for you to reach out to him, communicate. He just needs your attention.
I always think about the fact that we're, you know, human beings and humor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, he created us.
He created humor. You think God doesn't have humor?
It's there cracking jokes and, you know.
God has the most sense of humor.
I think it would just
like strip we just back we just need everything. To strip back the culture, strip back everything yeah. that the labels people have put on it.
And that's and where just, we need to get to.
Yes.
Yeah.
The labels and find your identity with him. You go back to the drawing board. We always come back to that point. Like yes. there's no way you all you know about him is what people have said.
Yeah.
Find him for yourself. Declutter everything. Block everyone out and yeah. go and look for him. Mm-hmm. The Bible says, if you seek me, you will find me. If you
with all your search heart.
Me. Exactly. With all your heart. And you only get to that point where you actually block everything you know
yes.
and have that desire in you to say, okay, I want to know
the
you.
The heart of a child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Open-mindedly go and find him. Mm-hmm. You know him.
And even though he knows you're in the space, like, okay, I want to hear just what you want me to.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But. So, mm-hmm. I mean, we've talked about so many identity conflicts, the cultural challenges,
yeah.
the influence of our friends and the people around us, religion as well too, helps to put some proper fuel to these issues. I want us to also talk about celebrating individuality within the Christian space and how we should celebrate that more in our Christian identity and in the body of Christ. I want us to talk about that a little bit more. As we round up.
Maybe some examples of the type of individuality.
So, as we were saying earlier on, like, Paul was a fiery guy.
Mm-hmm.
Peter was a bit hot-headed as well, too. Mm-hmm. But you had people in there that were intellectual. The Lukes, the Johns were quiet people, chill
yep.
people.
Yep.
People have different temperaments. And the Bible says in the house, there are different vessels.
Mm-hmm.
Some of gold, some of silver, some of clay, some of wood. How do we celebrate people in and their different individuality, how do we emphasize that more within the body of Christ?
I think there's a lot of work.
Definitely.
A lot of work to be done. But it also comes down to, there's a huge part of it that's linked to emotional intelligence that I feel we don't invest enough in.
Yes.
To understand who we are, why we are a certain way. And that allows us to understand another person, who they are, the values that that type of personality brings.
Yeah.
I was looking at this thing, this couple. I think he was trying to explain his wife being somebody who's spontaneous.
Yeah.
And he was like, he loved that about her. But he hated that she was always late to everything. She's late to everything. And he was like, but then when he thought about it, he was like, she couldn't be spontaneous if she wasn't always late to everything. It comes together. Like, maybe somebody can work on it. It doesn't mean that you should accept it, but that is part of who she is. And that's why, because she can just come, I'm just going to go do this thing and go do that thing. And is caring enough to understand somebody, is caring enough to dissect those things. And I feel like a lot of people just don't care about people that
yeah.
deeply enough to do that. And I make it very like intentional to do that with the people around me, the close people around me, to do that so that I can understand who you are, understand the value that you bring, so that I don't cover you, who you are, with what I think it should be. So I allow you to shine, you allow me to shine, everybody is shining, but we know that we're different and we embrace
our individuality, and our uniqueness.
Yeah, I had this meeting with the choir. We talked about it. We're like, how do you deal with conflict? How do you deal with conflict? How do you deal with conflict? So if we both clash with how we deal with conflict, how can we
resolve
this type of situation if something should happen? Is having those type of conversations, because like this one is like, I'm not going to talk. But now I know that if you're upset with me, you're not going to bring it up. You're just going to
just hold it
so
in.
So I now know, I'm like, okay,
I'll be the bigger person.
I need to be in this situation because I know this is your default personality. And it's those type of things that we need to have those conversations, but we need to be willing to, I think.
True. And in addition to that, I think another way we can also resolve that is moving from a place of love.
100%. That's the core.
That's the core of our faith,
yeah.
Christianity. Like, love, when you when you move from a position of love, you are more understanding, you're more empathetic about other people's feelings. You put their feelings
to react forward,
and you understand them and embrace them. And this is an encouragement to the body of Christ at large, especially to the younger generation in the body of Christ. I really want us to embrace loving each other just the way God loves us, and mm-hmm. we need to extend that love to each other as well. To mm-hmm. as much as the Bible says, we should love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves. As we love ourselves, extend that same love and grace to other people as well. And understand that people are different. Understand that people have their own individuality, but then we are all part of a body. Each part of the body has a unique function. The eye will never do what the fingers can do.
Yep.
The tongue cannot do what the kidney can do.
Mm-hmm.
But each of them has a very unique position to fill
working
in the body.
Together.
Just like Paul said, some are teachers, some are prophets,
mm-hmm.
some are pastors, some are evangelists, some mm-hmm. are there to care for people, mm-hmm. some are to be financiers,
yep.
some are to be counselors.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has a unique role to play in the body of Christ, in mm-hmm. the kingdom. And this is what makes us unique.
Yeah.
This is when we understand our identity in the kingdom, it's easier for us to flourish in that place God has called us to be. It's easier to flourish in our purpose. It's easier to flourish in our calling. And this is an encouragement to young Christians all over the world that are gonna watch this podcast. There's something God created you for in his body. Go back to him. Ask him, Lord, what is it that you created me for?
Mm-hmm.
What is my identity in you?
Mm-hmm.
I, for one, now I understand that one of the things God created me for is to spread the message through media.
Mm-hmm.
Media in all forms of media, whether it's audio, whether it's visual, mm-hmm. whether it's content. And I'm running with it.
Yeah.
This is what's led us to this podcast right now.
Yeah.
This is what I do in my business, Soft House Productions.
Yeah.
Let me chip that in there. So I understand my calling and I'm running with it. Like, even in my everyday walk, in my everyday dealings with people,
mm.
I let the light of God shine through me. I am this same person yeah. everywhere I go.
Yeah.
I am the son of the King of Kings.
Mm-hmm.
Manifesting in different expressions of gifts that he has blessed me with.
Yep.
And that is what God wants us to be, really. Representing wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
You are in government.
Mm-hmm.
You need to bring that light in mm-hmm. him, of mm-hmm. his light there in that space.
Yeah.
You are in the music space as well.
Mm-hmm.
You need to bring that life. Whatever space you are in, your ability to understand your purpose and your identity in Christ
mm-hmm.
would help you shine his light. That's all that matters, really. The Bible says we are a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. The Bible
yeah.
says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify who the Father
yeah.
who is in heaven. At the end of the day, in it all, the purpose of our lives is to give God glory.
It is 100% understanding.
That sums
that.
It all.
Yeah. Yeah. I think in terms of going back to you talking about the core being love, I think the reason why I'm also careful with the word love is because I don't think all of us also understand.
Oh yes.
Love.
That's what we discussed in the last episode.
Our parents, not like our specific parents,
yeah.
but many people have parents who love them
mm-hmm.
who didn't do the right things
True.
By them, but they thought they were doing the right things.
Mm-hmm.
By them. What does the Bible say about ignorance?
My people perish for lack of knowledge.
And that's why I feel like we need to invest in that part of intelligence, that part of knowing, understanding
mm-hmm.
humans. We can never really understand
True.
Fully. But the same way we go to school to learn about maths and I want to be a pilot,
yeah.
so I do this to become this person. I want to be a doctor. Study to show yourself approved.
Approved. Mm-hmm.
In the same way, knowing that this is God's precious people, we need to work to understand the people around us, and so that, or maybe understand love through God's eyes.
True.
So that you can show love.
It to the people you're with.
Yeah, because love is distorted in the way
people understand and express it nowadays.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I agree with you.
Yeah, I agree with you. I definitely feel that that's something we need to really work on.
Definitely.
I think it'll take us far.
Yeah. I mean, this has been an amazing conversation. Thank you so much, Uche. Like,
thank
I really
you
appreciate you from the depths of my heart for being here. I mean, it's been a nice time discussing identity and our faith. And I hope someone has taken something out of this conversation today that would improve their relationship with God, improve their understanding of themselves and their identity in God.
Yeah.
And I want to say God bless you guys for tuning in again. Okay. It's always a pleasure to have you guys watch, and I want to always encourage you, please subscribe to our YouTube channel. If you've not done so already, please press that subscribe button right now. Please, please, please press click, 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 click. And then also, I want you to also press like on this video right now and share it with your friends. Share it with everybody on your contact list. Please, please.
Subscribe, like, Bikun, and share.
Please, like, subscribe, and share. And follow us on our socials as well, too. On Instagram is at Struggling Young Christian Pod. On TikTok is at SYCP. That's where we are at the moment. So I want to say a big thank you once again to our guest today, Uche. God bless you, sis. God increase you. Cause his face to shine upon you in Jesus' name.
And you too.
Thank you so much. Name. And happy Easter. And hopefully see you guys on the next episode. God bless you. Soft House Productions.